To order. Good morning, everyone. This is a planning and zoning workshop for the land use plan. The agenda was posted and published. We're going to start with public comment. You're welcome to speak on any aspect of the land use plan that you would like. And we'll start with Mr. Andrew from Delaware Electric Co-op.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, appreciate you letting me come here today. I do have some slides, but if you flip through them, that'd be great. I'm just going to talk with you about it. As you all know, Delaware Electric Cooperative is probably its largest provider in Sussex County. We're a cooperative owned by its member. We have 93,000 members located throughout the entire county, and we have complete infrastructure that crisscrosses the entire facility of the county. Okay, we're a very progressive utility, and we're up to date with respect to all types of technology. Okay, when I go back and look at providing the power, we're very unique in that we own and operate our own power plants. We're in the process of building a 1,000-megawatt combined cycle combustion turbine, which is one of the most efficient and cleanest power plants that I've seen built today. It comes online the middle of July, and it's located within the electric zone of the Delmarva Peninsula. So it provides us power, and it will provide us power every day. Even though it is a mid-merit plant, it's going to be running almost full-time because of the cost of the facility, the efficiency of the facility, and the cost of the fuel, which is natural gas. It is a combined heat and power unit, and that's what gives it all its efficiencies. Okay, we presently have 146 employees that work every day to keep your lights on, and we're constantly growing. One of the fastest growing utilities in the Mid-Atlantic, if not the United States, especially in the cooperative footprint. Okay, we focus on the rates to our membership, the service to the membership. We have a very reliable system that actually operates less than 110 minutes the last 3 years of outage time, which is world-class operations with respect, especially to a cooperative. You know, we focus on service. We don't focus on profit, although we do make a profit, and we return capital credits because we are a not-for-profit utility. We really focus on highly trained, and it's pretty highly paid individuals that come right from the county itself. Our corporate office is located in the county. Most recently, we had a company build out a high-speed, scalable fiber optic network. Okay, it's a broadband network that consists of 144 pair of cable. It is completed by a company called Light Tower. Light Tower worked with us in a partnership to build this out throughout the county, both Kent and Sussex County, by utilizing our poles as a place to go, and it was in-kind services between them and us. And we ended up paying about $3 million to them to have this facility installed. It is operational. It is not owned by the cooperative, but we have an awful lot of say in who it becomes available to. One of the things that we insisted when we built this is that the co-op wouldn't own it, number one, but we needed them to build the facilities that would accommodate growth throughout Sussex County for many years in the future. And with the technology and with the actual capabilities of the system as far as the magnitude of the number of wires, light cables, it is set to provide us a tremendous amount of ability as we move forward. And I have provided with you significant maps that show the internet or the fiber hubs that's located throughout the county. It is a ring system, and it's available to help us build business. One more step. Whenever I talk to someone who wants to come to the county to build something, they ask me several things. Number one, what's the cost of power? Okay, we are the lowest price power. We have a long-term supply. It is very efficient, and it looks really good for the future. Okay, now we have broadband. I know you all are working very hard for water. Is not a real problem. Water and sewer, you're working very hard for that, as well as natural gas as it moves into the area. The third thing they asked is a skilled workforce. We're working very closely with the community colleges in the area to develop skilled workforces and make it available. I will tell you that the final thing that they talk about is the ease to do business in Delaware. And many of them have horror stories that it's very difficult for them to do business. It's very difficult for them to bring their businesses online. And as you know, because many of you run a business, every month that you're not in business, what do? You lose money, okay? I support the county with respect to the development of business districts. I think it's an awesome idea. I have pushed this concept up and down the state of Delaware. I talked on my way here to Bob Perkins from the governor's task force, and he indicated that, wow, this is something unique. If we can put business districts available to make it easier for us to bring business, to show our businesses that they are welcome at Sussex County, it's going to bring jobs, it's going to let us utilize our land use much better, and it's going to allow us to utilize our infrastructure in the proper manner. I favor the agriculture business because ag is my biggest customer. We work very hard with all of agriculture to make sure that they have the facilities available and that we have it at a cost that makes it usable for them and makes them competitive in the marketplace. I would almost insist, because what goes right along with the ag is technology centers. Okay, I think technology centers provide a very inert and complementary business to our technology centers, or to our ag districts, and I would love to see that included to allow us to do that. Now that we have fiber, now that we have power, and we have the people who want to bring businesses to the county. Okay, I will tell you, as always, and the cooperative is here to assist you any way we can. We have significant plans and processes in place looking at our infrastructure, not only from the power supply aspect, but the delivery aspect. When we look at reliability, we look at affordability, and we look at customer service. We talk to our members, we want to know when they need their power. We are not constrained by a lot of government regulations that some of the other power companies are, because we're member regulated. We're regulated by our owners, you. And it allows us to make quick, very efficient, and smart business decisions to bring businesses to our area and bring our product to market. Once again, I would tell you that I would be more than happy to answer any questions that you might have. I am always available to talk with you on anything that is for the betterment of Sussex County and the state of Delaware.
Thank you. There is something you mentioned that really caught my ear, because it's an ongoing concern, I think, for all of us. And this maybe has maybe more to do with our economic development element, but it affects everything that happens. And that is the issue about speed to market. That's the issue about being able to get something up and running. And I was wondering if maybe you had an experience that you could share with us that was a positive experience, whether it was here or somewhere else.
Well, absolutely, Mr. Wheatley. When I talk to members, they always talk to us about, hey, how can I get this done faster? When I talk to new business, they want to know, how do we get it done faster? The previous governor came to me and wanted to know why we didn't build an $850 million facility in Delaware. And I said, you don't have the infrastructure ready. And he says, well, we can get infrastructure. And the co-op was actually the one that asked to have the gas pipe put down the middle of Route 1, and it didn't go anywhere. But that was 5 or 6 years ago. We went to Maryland, and we built our facility that's located next to a gas main, next to a 500,000-volt transmission line, and it's a 24-inch, 750 PSIG gas main, and we have two gas mains on our property there where they came to us and they said, we want you to come, and we will make it much easier for you to get permitting to build a power plant. We ended up going through a CPCN process for our power plant in Maryland. We went through that faster than it took me to get permission to build a warehouse on my facility that we have owned in the co-op for 80 years in Greenwood, Delaware. They took us right through the steps one by one. It was top driven, and it made the cost of the facility much less, but it allowed us to come on probably a year and a half earlier than we would have. And it's going to benefit every property owner and every person that uses electricity, whether you're on the co-op or not. This is what good business does. This is what good process does. And it was a streamlined one-stop shop for power plant permitting that's put together in the state of Maryland.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Anyone else have any questions for Mr. Andrew?
I have a couple, Mr. Andrew. We have in the draft already an expanded or new ag industrial district, yet to be determined if it stays in there or not. So you're suggesting that we add as a permitted use these technology centers to that ag industry district?
I think it's a tremendous opportunity for Delaware now that we have the infrastructure in place. I think it works very good with our environmental concerns because it's almost inert. It's a building. It's a warehouse building, and they want to be, they don't want to be seen. These folks like to be not noticed, okay? They're pretty quick to market, and they provide an awful lot of revenue of value. I had businesses that came in and talked to me, and they indicated, I asked them, what's the asset value? And they said $75 million. Provides a tremendous tax base for us that allows us to keep doing the right things. And they want to be here because of our workforce, because of our the ability to do business in an efficient manner. So yes, I think that it works very good. They don't pollute. They have some heat. They use a little bit of water for cooling, like tunnel ventilation in chicken houses. Very similar concept, evaporative cooling processes. They use a lot of power, which we have, and they use a lot of internet. And they have good jobs that are available. A typical center would have anywhere from 75 to 100 people. The cost of the salary that I'm talking to them, or the value of the salary, is anywhere from $40,000 to $90,000 a year. And they run 24/7, 365 with shifts of anywhere from 15 to 20 people. Doesn't impact the highways, doesn't impact the water, the runoff, and it can be put on 10-acre spots.
Thank you, sir. How many of those technology companies have expressed interest in locating here? I guess they would all want individual sites. I mean, what's the demand?
Well, we have confidentiality agreements right now with two centers. I will tell you that we started doing this around February 1st. When we had our facilities up and running. We wanted to have our facilities up and running and the capabilities for broadband. But there has been a lot of interest thus far. Very preliminary. They're looking for places to build. They're looking for the ease to do business. They're looking for power, and they're looking to come to Southern Delaware.
And from the time they apply to the county or state, what's their expectation for speed to market? What are they expecting?
Speed to market, they would love to be able to come here with a piece of property that they say and come before you and say, this is where we want to build. This is the facilities that will accommodate. They would love to be able to put a shovel on the ground 6 months later. It's a speed to business and profitability. Many facilities located throughout other parts of the world, and Virginia is an excellent one, they already have built centers. They built industrial parks, but they really like Sussex County because of our fiber optics and our work ethics and our ability to provide them real power.
Okay. And then switching subjects, I mean, I know that the co-op is always having to anticipate load so that you can supply energy at peak times. Within the county, what are your anticipated, load increases? Where are you putting in more power to accommodate that future anticipated load?
Mr. Ross, we have the ability to, we're an A-rated company on S&P from New York. We have the ability to get funds to build facilities where we need them. When I look at the technology capabilities or my technical capabilities of my workforce, we have 10 engineers, 5 PEs that are available that can do this. We're building right now. We have substation upgrades in the Derrickson area down at the beach. We have substation upgrades in the Long Neck area. We have substation upgrades in the Georgetown area. We just finished upgrades located throughout. We have a 10-year plan where we're looking at being able to install 4 new substations. We could make it 8 tomorrow if we wanted to. We actually piggyback on the transmission system that Delmarva Power provides us so that we don't put a lot of new high voltage lines in, but we tie our entire system together to provide high levels of reliability and capacity. Many of our new lines are underground. Whenever we take a high-capacity line, it works better overhead, but an overhead and an underground combination work wonderful.
And so I guess within your new meters, are you saying, are they going all in one area of the county, east, west, north, south?
Typically, they like to be separated, okay? They're not like a drugstore they build on both sides of the corner, but when they come to an area, they have what I call a herd mentality. They like to come, and they all like to be in an area because of the job capability and the technology training that's available from the local, the power system and the prices that are available. I failed to mention that Delaware Electric Cooperative, all the members of Delaware Electric Cooperative have the ability to shop their power on the marketplace if they can get a better. We have the ability to work with them, and we work with them hand in hand when that is the case. So we can provide good power, we can provide cheap power, we can provide good internet now or broadband capabilities. Typically, they look for a 10-acre plot, and they like to be hidden as much as possible.
From a residential perspective, I mean, where are you seeing the greatest demand for residential new meters?
Well, residential new meters, it's wonderful. But it's basically 113 East, okay, in Sussex County. And 113 West, we're doing a lot of agricultural work, whether it be irrigation or poultry aspects. So we're working both on the grain and poultry. We've got a tremendous new grain facility that's being built between Milton and Georgetown right now. We've installed over 600 new irrigation systems in the past 5 years located throughout the county. But typically, east of 113 is residential, high residential and service industry. And west would be the agriculture and hopefully the technology areas.
Thank you. That's all, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Anyone else?
I did have one other thing I would add. It's making me think of it. When we talked to a gentleman that's coming from the West Coast, he was talking about $1 million an acre property, and he was astounded when we talked to him about the price of land available for it here. And it was a wow. And he indicated to me that he was very interested in coming here. We've actually signed a non-disclosure agreement with them to continue to investigate that. And I will need your help because it's great business for the county.
All right, sir. Anyone else have any questions, Mr. Andrew? All right, sir. We thank you very much for your time today. Appreciate
thank you.
Your comments.
Mr. Wheatley?
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thank
All right.
you.
All right, who's next?
Good job, Bill.
Okay, yes, sir. Left hand in the air. Come on.
Good morning. My name is Rich Barrasso. Thanks for the opportunity, Mr. Chairman, Commission, Attorney Robertson, and Ms. Cornell. I'm with the Sussex County Alliance for Responsible Growth, SARGE. I've had the opportunity to speak to you before, and I'm representing the alliance. Again, some of you have seen this, others that have not. We're essentially a nonpartisan group. Our focus is to educate and engage the public on the importance of what you specifically in the county is doing relative to building the comprehensive plan. Our three main objectives are to ensure that there's a balance of sustaining the quality of life, as well as economic development and encouraging responsible and transparent governance. And this whole process is a great example of transparent governance. It's much, much appreciated on your effort. I want to do away with a myth, and that myth is that we are growth stoppers. We're not. We're all about growth. But in terms of our preamble, it's really about how we grow. The last time that you heard from SARGE, if you can advance that, please. Oh, I got it here. We shared with you a little quantitative data on the public comments that were made in the fall. And we promised that we would follow up, provide a little qualitative backup for that information, and we're going to do that this morning quickly. But the takeaways from last week when this was presented is that there were approximately 570 comments. Nearly 7 out of 10 comments were in the area of 3 primary elements, that being transportation, land use, and conservation. And that was consistent across all of the public forum locations. So as promised, we wanted to share with you a little bit of the qualitative. So what you see here is a matrix. On the left-hand side are the 10 elements. And of those 570 comments, again, the most were in the three top categories: transportation, land use, and conservation. We took a look at all the comments and tried to bucket them into a theme. And as an example, and we'll use land use since this is what we're here today to talk about, those 155 comments, to the best of our ability, we grouped them into three major buckets. The first was traffic congestion / inadequate infrastructure. Second was to preserve space and farmland. And third was to protect water sources in watersheds. Now, again, the public isn't near as knowledgeable as you are relative to how their comments or sentiments fit into a given element. And in many cases, their comments, they thread across a number of elements. So if we're here today to talk about land use, an example of where they thread through, if you look under recreation and open space, the first comment there is, the intergovernmental coordination. Here they talk about DLDOT and county government need to be partners. Well, that could relate to land use. It could relate to transportation. So the bottom line here is these are the three buckets where the most attention, the most noise was coming from. In addition to the public comments that were provided online, in the last week, these are the comments that came in. And you'll just take that clip pack and pass it through the extras, whatever you want to do with those, Chanel. We'll also work with you to get those so that you can electronically and more efficiently put them on the website.
Are those comments that have come to your organization?
Correct.
Versus the county? Okay.
We have a website, sarge2018.org. So we're in constant communication with the public.
If there are any copies left over, we certainly can make them available to anybody.
Oh, thank you.
Wants them.
Well, there's one copy.
Just one left over. Oh, sorry about that.
We will make.
I was thinking about you, though.
What we'll do, Mr. Chairman, is we'll make that available on our website, yeah. As so that the public has access. Our communication today, we reach about 1,200 people in any email distribution that we put out, and we encourage folks, if you can't be here at the workshops, we'll bring your message to the leaders. One of the things that our public responded to in the last week were some comments that were made a week ago today, as well as those comments being part of a story that the Cape Gazette carried with regards to residents unhappy with regards to potential changes to AR1. A lot of the comments referenced adequate public facilities. Now, I don't know a whole lot about that, so I did some research, but one of the things that was most interesting, and in the Cape Gazette March 24th article, again, there appeared to be strong opposition to APFOs. And here's where some of the comments. One was, don't copy Kent. And I'm assuming they meant Kent County. Another comment was, I've seen this movie before. It has a tragic ending. Land valued plummeted tenfold. Now, I mean, if I'm the Cape Gazette, I'm going to research that. I mean, that's a very bold statement. On the surface, at least it is. Developers are skipping over Kent County because of the difficulty to comply to the AFPOs. There's been 60 lawsuits. But the thing that jumped off the newspaper page for me were these last two comments. You can't direct growth, and you cannot butt the market. So why do we have a planning commission if we can't direct growth? And then the last comment was, development is not the problem. It's that the roads are not built around it. Now, that's a pretty astonishing statement. So my point is, as much ballyhoo as there was against APFOs, there, in my limited knowledge, in having lived in a number of communities across the country, there are great things that are happening. There are great tools that are being utilized. I don't know if APFOs is a great tool for Sussex County, But to simply dismiss it because it may not work for certain stakeholders, I think is a big mistake. Secondly, if we put to the public what an APFO is, and again, this is pulled right off of a website. It's intended to ensure that essential public facilities needed to support new development meet or exceed the level of service standards. I think the public would respond to that pretty favorably. It is expressly intended that the adequate public facilities needed to support new residential development are available concurrent with the impacts of such development. It is further intended that no application or major subdivision, conditional use, or site plan application shall be approved, which would cause, excuse me, a reduction in the levels of service of any public facility to adopt the level of service established. Of those 151 comments related to land use, there were people that very passionately said we should put a moratorium on any building. Now, I know that's not realistic. There's too much growth opportunity in this county to whipsaw to that extreme. But there's probably something between where we're at today and putting a moratorium that would allow us to tap into some tools that we can grow responsibly, not impact too terribly the quality of life, provide for economic growth, and do it in a way that could really set the pace, not only for Sussex County, but for the state. So in closing, I would ask on behalf of SARGE that we stay open to tools and techniques that are throughout the planning process, and not necessarily respond to where we've been because for certain stakeholders, that's worked best for them. So I thank you for your time.
All right, sir, we thank you. Okay, who's next? All the way in the back. Okay, come on up.
Your blind spot.
Yeah, I'll hide behind that post.
Good morning, Commission, consultants. I'm Jim Byerly, I'm Director of Development for Key Properties in Milford. I just wanted to take a second to touch on a few things that I know the group's been working on related to issues not only throughout the county, but in Milford specifically. I think the people I run into on a daily basis, understand that there's a new hospital being built in Milford. I don't think they understand that there's not only a new hospital being built, but there's 160 some acres on that campus to be built as in addition to that. And I think that's a key point that as we, not only here at this level, are writing a new comp plan, that the city of Milford is going through the same exercise. And that not only do we have that growth happening, but we also have the turf fields just to the north of us, which is going to bring upwards of 2,000 people a weekend as participants to those fields into that community as well. I think one of the other key things to try to keep in mind is that there's 200 acres across the highway from the Bay Health campus that is zoned exactly the same way that the Bay Health campus is zoned. We are getting inquiries from across the country for potential users of that site. So you take all that together, we have a pretty amazing job growth experience catalyst, however you want to call it, happening in Milford. I think it's important that as you look at further land use, future land use in the county, that there's commercial opportunities that are thought of to complement this growth that's actually on the books now and zoning that's actually on the books now. And that as a group, that there's better maybe information going out to the community to really get their arms around the seismic nature of the events that are happening as we speak. I think it would be very beneficial that if this group as a whole interfaced with Milford's P&Z, as we're writing the same document, I think it would be very beneficial to have that kind of communication between both parties. I know that we've met individually with the consultants and with Janelle. It's been very informative, but I think as a community as a whole, it's such an important event and it has such a huge impact on this document as it reaches for the next generation almost, that we come to terms and get our arms around the fact that there's things that are on the books now and happening that are going to come into play here in the next 5 to 10 years. I just want to at least put that out. I know everyone's aware of it, but at the same time, just want to amplify it. Thank you.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Okay, who's next? Yes, sir. With the
My name is Steve Doherty, and I live in Greenwood, Delaware. I'm here to address the setback of the chicken houses from property line. Just would appreciate a review of that. I'm not part of any organization or any group. I'm just a concerned landowner myself representing my property. I'm not representing some activist groups that are against chickens or chicken houses or anything like that. And I grew up in Sussex County. I grew up in the country, and I'm proud to say that I'm a country boy. As we know, as you probably heard about a year ago down in Wicomico County, they had the issue of the chicken houses trying to be built down on Naylor Road, 8, 10, 12, whatever that number was. And this is what brought my attention to our problem here in Sussex County. Our setbacks are very limited. Now, I have here what I will present. This is a letter from DPI, the poultry industry, dated June of 2015. This is for recommendations. They can't hold the integrators or growers to this acknowledgement. This is just a suggestion. They suggest, DPI does, that there be a minimum of 400 feet in between poultry house and next dwelling not located on the same property, with a minimum of 100 foot off of a property line. So the poultry house will have to be at least 100 foot off of their property line. Wicomico County has enacted and changed their code, and also researched down in Worcester County and Somerset County. They are in the process of revising theirs to change from what it is. And again, I will give you a copy of this. In Wicomico County, the new ordinances for new poultry houses, this is what it is, new, shall be at least 400 feet from dwelling, not on the residence, to poultry house. And it lists other churches, schools, etc. A minimum of 400 feet. But Wicomico County even went further, and they put a 200-foot setback off of the property line. So they're going to be 200 foot off the property line to start with. And they even went further to talk about setbacks with exhaust fans. If exhaust fans are pointed towards a residence, they have to be at least 600 foot away. If they're not, it's 500 foot. So if the exhaust fan, if your house is here and the exhaust fans are here, they have to be 500 foot. But if they're right at your residence, it's 600 foot away. These are, and there's some more about the berms, et cetera, in there. But the setbacks is what I'm concerned about. And I will give you, obviously, a copy of this. Here in Sussex County, the poultry house has to be 50 foot off of a property line with a minimum of 200 foot between chicken house and residence of that's not on the chicken house property. It's 200 foot minimum that they have to be apart from property to property. This issue is going to come up in Sussex County. And I know this is the first, it's probably been brought up in here. And most people in Sussex County probably don't know that it can only be 200 foot away from their house. So Sussex County's changed. It's not what it was when I grew up here, 60s and 70s, 80s. Is changing. We have to change with it. I don't have a vendetta against the poultry industry. I don't have a vendetta against farmers. It's just the point that this code, I believe, is antiquated, that we need to adjust it so we can all play good in the sandbox. We need farming. We need chicken houses in Sussex County. And on the western side of the county, obviously, it's not as developed right now as on the eastern side. But it's going to happen. It's going to migrate over there. And the people that were complaining, the groups down in Wicomico and these other counties, the activist group, are going to come right up here to Sussex County. I see it as an opportunity for Sussex County to be proactive and take steps to get in line with the other counties and make it more peaceful for landowners. I've been to realtors, I've been to appraisers, and with the present existing setbacks, you lose 30% of the value of your property as soon as that house, chicken house, goes beside you. 30% is a lot of money, whether it's $100,000 or $1 million. It's still 30% that landowner is losing because of that chicken house being so close to them and their property line. So I appreciate you listening to me. If you have a question or anything, I will certainly try to answer it.
Mr. Daugherty, just so you're aware, the poultry companies themselves have set self-imposed setbacks for new house construction. It's fairly new. It was along the same time frame as the DPI suggested, but these are mandatory within the companies. I'm going from memory, but I'm pretty sure my memory's right on this. It's 1,500 feet from any adjacent poultry farm and 500 feet from any non-farm residence, which far exceeds both Wicomico and Accomack's mandatory setbacks. You simply can't get a contract with an integrator unless you meet their new house requirements, which include those setbacks, just for your information. The other thing is since those setbacks were put in by the companies themselves, trying to find sites for young farmers to build houses or people has become increasingly difficult because it's hard to find a site that meets those setback requirements. And so they end up going to bigger and bigger acreage sites in order to have the spatial distance between to meet those setbacks. And so you end up consuming a large amount of land. It becomes not as useful. You eliminate center pivot irrigations and those kind of things. And the cost of the sites have gone up dramatically because a number of qualified sites have dropped. So just for information, you know, for your purposes, you can check that information out by probably calling any one of the companies, new housing people, and they'll
verify. I can address that. I have a piece of property adjacent to mine, and I've seen the drawings, and it's not 500 foot.
From your house?
From my house.
What company is the integrator?
The integrator?
Mm-hmm.
It's over in Hurlock. And the chicken houses are not built yet. There's not a contract yet, but I've seen the plans through the USDA where they had to present them to the USDA to get their loan approved. I do have a horse in this race, but it's not 500 foot. They're only 50 foot off of our property line. It's not 500 foot away.
How far from your residence?
It's less than 500 foot. Now, to give you an exact figure, I can't do that, but I know where it's at because I've seen the drawings. But that's the same thing with the DPI letter, as I referred to. This is almost like a gentleman's agreement. It's nothing that they've mandated to the integrators and the growers because the growers are going to want to put as many houses on a piece of property as they can, as well as the integrators want as many on that property as they can. So... And I'm not taking issue with you. I'm just telling you from a personal position that that's not quite there. Everybody's not abiding with that agreement. And again, I'm not against the poultry industry. My in-laws are in the poultry business. They're in the farming business. So, you know, we have an interest in it too. But, you know, why should one person, why should a landowner lose money because they're in this situation? And that's what it's going to boil down to. Maybe not this week, maybe not this year, but it's going to happen. Sussex County is going to get bigger. And the same example, when you have a road separating a town and you got a development on one side, which is in town limits, and on the other side of that road is zoned AR, they're going to be right there and they're going to build them. And it's not going to be, I think it's 200 foot, they have to be off of the road. 200 foot is not a lot of space. And we've all grew up, and I shouldn't say that for sure, but most of us here grew up in Sussex County, and chicken houses are different than they used to be. They're monsters now. It's not ma and pa organizations. A lot of them are out of town owners, and they don't care one thing about who their neighbors are or what the neighbor has to go through or them losing money.
All right, sir. Anything else you want to share with us?
I'm good.
Well, listen, thank you for coming out. I think I understand what you're saying. I think your suggestion is that the public would be better served if there was a uniform ordinance that reflected setbacks that are of a more modern nature than just leaving it up to the industry to establish them themselves. Is that what you're saying to us?
Absolutely. If you have a county code or ordinance, then they have to comply with that before they do anything else.
And it's the same
if you don't have one, and it's minimal as ours is here in Sussex County, people are going to push that issue as far as they can. That's human nature. And the more space you got, the more houses you can put on, and hopefully the more money they can make.
All right, sir. We'll take your comments under advisement.
Thank you very much.
Yes, indeed.
Can we make
Thank
sure
you.
We get a copy of the letter? To, yeah.
Okay, who's next?
I'll do well.
Okay, all the way over here.
Good morning. I'm Phoebe Cottingham. I have a written statement I'll supply you with, and I'm just going to give a very brief summary. I want to commend you on what I have heard at all these meetings that I have come to, and I want to urge you to keep going with the very special uniqueness of Sussex County and the integrity that you've had in your process, and to keep going in that path to the future. Do not be swept aside by visionary plans to do this or that. I have lived in a number of communities and had professional experiences myself, having studied planning. I've lived in Berkeley, and I know the disaster that occurred there. I have lived in Tennessee, I've lived, you name it, the city, I've been there. Having lived here now for 7 years and become familiar with your process, I have a lot of respect for it, and I want to give you support. And I give you some particulars in here. I name the obvious conclusions that we had before about economic development. I totally am consistent with what we heard from the Delaware Electric Cooperative man. He was pointing our direction to the new technology kinds of things that ought to be allowed and allowable within a plan. So don't go narrow. Don't go burdened down with too many requirements, regulations. You can't do this. You're going to need to have flexibility in the future, and I think you're going to win in the three county, maybe it's four actually, four county competition in this state and elsewhere. In particular, I've named these things as things that I find are essential to your process. Understand, I'm talking about the process of how you get to the plan and how you implement it. Continue with this public hearing process to make the decisions that are appropriate for location and type of activity. I have found it a very responsive process, and it worked. It has worked for you. Do use ordinances as you need to clarify those activities that Sussex has learned cost us more than the likely economic change. That's a very difficult, dicey decision, but keep trying to do that. But don't make everything into ordinances and rules, okay? Because this is a changing world, and you've got to take what happens out there. Do streamline, I think it was Kim who said this, streamline the permit process to allow new opportunities to move much more quickly into place. We heard 6 months from the Delaware Electric Cooperative as their estimate of how long it would take to get something started. That's what we need to have for everyone. Keep proceeding in the route you've been in with the changes that we need in our roads. We know this is little bit of something that we didn't do so well in the past, but we're now on board. And we do want to have those costs of road changes right front and center for any developer at the very early stage and not something that gets diddled along. I know that Secretary Cohen is urging everyone to go in this way. Keep the focus on identifying your water system weaknesses and repairing that. I've heard good things said here about that. I think you're on top of that. And I just want to urge you to be very sensitive to the fact that the market is going to resolve a lot of these issues. And it's going to change the dynamics of who wants to live here, where they want to live, what businesses come, where they want to be. And let's stay on top of that. Thanks a lot for letting me give you a few more words.
Thank you. Appreciate you coming.
Yeah, can we have a copy?
Okay, who's next? Yes, ma'am, right up front here.
Thanks. Good morning. My name is Barbara Vaughn, and I have a very bad cold, and I apologize for my voice. I just wanted to offer a very short history of adequate public facilities as far as Sussex County was concerned. About 8 or 7 years ago, I'm not sure exactly the date, I co-authored an adequate public facilities ordinance for Sussex County with the help of Rick Coutts, who was a retired member of the Planning and Zoning Office. We vetted it through every state office and worked as hard as we could to make it fair. So it was introduced to this county council, and it did not do well in terms of any enthusiasm. Interesting, several years later, Sarah Kiefer came to an organization that I belong to and made a very nice presentation about the fate or the state of adequate public facilities ordinance in Kent County. And her summary was, a conclusion was, that surcharges were much more effective and less difficult to manage. And I just offer that in response to the excellent presentation from the SARGE representative. But just to let you know that there was one at an ordinance at one time floating around. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, who's next? Yes, sir, all the way in the back.
Hello, Christian Hudson, Lewis, Delaware. Well, first, thank you guys again. Just looking back here and, you know, looking at my watch, it's once again, I'd like to just go on the record and say, I think you'd have a much better turnout of the younger generation if we held these things not during work hours. I realize all of you guys have a job, and thank you for showing up and holding these, but it is very difficult for the business community to come out and represent themselves. And if we want to do more than just a head fake towards economic development in the comp plan, I think we should try to actually bring those that do create jobs to the table for their comments. But I know a lot of this process is already set. So I wanted to speak real quick about the our antiquated laws and ways and regulations and things like that. I think it bears noting, you know, I was sitting back here and I'm sitting there looking at this seal of Sussex County, and I guess it kind of goes without saying that we do have some antiquated laws, and I'm just thinking about it, you know, it's kind of, in this day and age, it is kind of antiquated to think that you can do with your property what you want. We used to have this thing called a can-do attitude, but I feel like we've replaced it with the attitude of, you know, can I get a permit for this before we even think about doing something anymore? And, you know, going back to our seal 1683, a lot of these issues that we're talking about are really property rights and what can someone do or cannot do with their land, and whether it be a chicken house or a hotel, is it really, it really boils down to the property rights. And I think one of the major successes in Sussex County has been the preservation of those property rights throughout the years. And that's why we have grown tremendously and people come to us rather than places like Accomack and Northampton County in Virginia, which have stagnated since 60s or 70s. You know, when zoning was first implemented in 1970, I think it was, or 71, the original planners went on a map and just drew this line down Route 1 and said, all right, everything 600 foot back from the highway is commercial. And they did that in a couple different areas in Sussex County. And if you look at the areas of Sussex County that have actually grown and where today our job growth has come from and where the economic impact for this county is, it's where those planners had the visionary thought and saying, hey, let's make this by right. In these areas, this is where we want growth, and all you have to come in for is a site plan. You are guaranteed the rights of whatever our zoning is. And I know now there's discussion about changing the commercial zoning into a bunch of different things, but I think something like that makes a lot of sense. To just go on a map and say where the market and some study is saying, you know, things should grow, and just saying here, this area right here is by right. You don't have to come in and fight some big public hearing and go through this long, arduous process. You know, because even with the permits and the regulations, you know, from a business standpoint, you're pretty much risking a whole bunch of stuff. And so you want to study things and not go off half-cocked. And so it takes you internally many years sometimes before you launch a business, or even before you come before planning and zoning or the county council and say, I'd like to build this here, even if you have the right to do it. And so I think the easier we can make that process and streamline that process, as Mr. Andrews was saying and a couple of speakers before me have said, the more by right, and again in certain areas, but the more by right that we can encourage in this county, make it easier for people to do things, the more jobs we have, the more economic impact we have, the more tax dollars we collect and things like that. So I'd like to encourage you to guys to just study where that market is saying, let's build things and free that up. Because I can tell you, it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars to come before you guys. We've done it several times. There's a whole bunch of people in Georgetown that make their living off of developers and other people that actually try to do things, and nothing, not taking away anything from them, but it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars to come before you guys with a plan if you're trying to get zoning or even conditional use, or a lot of times even a site plan will cost you a couple hundred thousand bucks if you have to do anything special to it. And again, that's before ever sticking a stick in the ground or hiring a single person, creating permanent job. So I just go back to these antiquated notions of property rights and our old seal, and you know, the fact that we've had these laws before, well gosh, before there was a United States. So thank you for preserving our rights, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. I do want to point out that we do appreciate the fact that not everybody can get to every meeting, and that's why we take public comment at every planning and zoning meeting there is. In our regularly scheduled meetings are in the evening. They start at 6. Once a month, the comment period is at the beginning of the meeting, and the other meeting it's at the end of the meeting. This meeting today is scheduled to last for 6 hours. I don't know about you, but I don't think I'd want to start a six-hour meeting at 6 p.m. So that's why we have these workshops during the day. But by all means, please encourage those who are out there working hard every day, making a living while we're doing this here. Make sure they know that you know, Thursday evening's their opportunity. And please, we would love to hear from every generation, frankly. So if there's a time that works for them, please encourage them to come. So, okay, who's next? Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. I'm Tommy Cooper, and I appreciate the opportunity to share some thoughts with you. I attended a couple weeks ago a symposium sponsored by the State Chamber of Commerce on their thoughts on how to make things mesh in the state, and I was one of the former chairman of the board that was invited to speak. And when it became my turn, I said, you know, what's dawned on me is I think there's only three things that really are working well in this state today: agriculture, tourism, and Sussex County government. When you think about that and analyze it, I think I said something that's very prevalent and true. And obviously, they're all in Sussex County. I think when you look at the relocation from all the other mid-Atlantic states that are coming to live in Sussex County, there's a reason. Because we've got a good thing going here. We really do. We always have, and we certainly do today. The other thing that all the relocation and the growth is bringing to Sussex County is world-class health care, and I think I'm qualified to speak. I'm chairman of the board of BB Hospital, and we're attracting world-class docs that, quite frankly, it's surprising that we're able to do so and provide the quality of health care and the cutting edge that we do. And the reason why is really quite simple. It's because the wives or spouses want to live here because of the quality of life. They want to raise their children here. And these world-class docs that can write their ticket and go anywhere they want, we're recruiting them every day. And that affects the quality of all of our lives if we needed it. So what I'm saying to you is the restaurants, the upscale grocery stores, the movie theaters, the soon-to-be IMAX, the things that we have for a rural area, and the people that come down the highways, you know, don't be upset by a little bit of traffic, because it's those people that are funding us to have the facilities that we have. So what I would caution you in rewriting this is be very, very cautious. You know, let's not kill the goose that laid the golden egg. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Indeed. Okay, who's next? All the way in the back. Yes, sir, Mr. Key.
Hello, it's Frank Key with Solutions here in Georgetown, and I'm a resident of Rehoboth Beach. I'm also a planner and sometime developer. And I'd like to offer kind of a practical suggestion, because I know you guys are going to start to talk about future land use. And there are obviously a bunch of components that you know of. Sewer is one of them. We've talked about adequate public facilities. I think what was demonstrated by some of the other speakers today is that we have adequate public facilities. We also know that we have growth, and growth has not been a problem with the exception of roads. And we've talked about that in the past. Recognizing that the road system here is absolutely controlled by DelDOT. Nevertheless, my strongest suggestion to you guys as a commission is that you look at the roadway system from the perspective of alternate roads to the ones that we usually associate with east-west and north-south travel. We have a really fine network of roads. There are other ways to get around. In the old days, you know, we used to say, well, don't tell the tourists how to do that, because they'll be on the back roads that we take. You know, but we can put them on the back roads if they're signed properly and improved properly. So my suggestion is to the county that the county develop its own plan for what these alternate roadways are, and that be part of your transportation and mobility plan. And then those are the bones that you hang future land use decisions on, together with sewer, open space, and the other elements. That's pretty much it in a nutshell, but I think that roadway system is important. If we could get people off Route 1, off Route 9, off 24, and onto some of the alternates, we could thin out the travel. And after all, we have a six-month traffic problem and a six-month no problem at all. If we could move them out on those 6 months and show them where to go, we would have a finer-grained transportation system. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. All right. That was good. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon. My name is Mary Cavey. I'm a resident of Bay Crossing development off of Route 1. Mm-hmm. We are doing a long-range planning for our community, which is now built out after 13 years. The builder is finished. We have 256 homes. And we need to know what the county's going to do. One of the things that has cropped up at our first meeting was the fact that we are, and there are so many landlocked communities. We have one way in off of Route 1 and one way out. If that road is blocked, there's no way that we can get out unless we go through the maneuvers of a parking lot or something and back of shopping centers to get out. So I would like some consideration as to when the developers are doing their developments and building their homes, they think about the fact that will there be access in the event of this one road in and out for an extra exit or entrance? Mm-hmm. I thank you for what you're doing. I've been here since 2005, and I come from Maryland, and I love Lewis, and I intend to stay here, and we are totally built out, and we are an active 55 community, which I think we'll be getting more of. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else? Going once? Twice? All right, then. We thank all of you who